Today's gospel lesson about the lepers is a harsh and painful lesson about the truth of human behavior. It is true that we can be notoriously ungrateful. It happens all the time. When someone does a favor to someone, or maybe lends money to someone, a friend, he or she may even say, "Don't bother to pay it back. I just want to help." And then sometimes that friendship will be lost because the recipient, not only will they not say thank you, but they sometimes won't even acknowledge. "I don't owe you anything. You helped me out in a time. So what?" They don't want to feel obligated or beholden to someone else. I have seen this behavior over and over again. We see it in relationships. When our children never really grateful to their parents, when our husbands and wives really grateful to each other, no one wants to concede, "I owe you something." It's not even good manners. The truth is, we're so caught up in ourselves and in creating an illusion of ourselves, even to ourselves. We don't want to lose our sense of power or self-control or the illusion that we have such to those around us. Lately, I don't remember it this way when I was younger, but I don't know, maybe I didn't notice it. I see more revisionist history. Maybe we've been watching too much TV, or we live in a fantasy world. It used to be when you behaved a certain way or when things were a certain way, you simply said, "This is the way it is." But now people change the story. "No, it didn't happen that way. No, you didn't give me this much. No, you didn't help me this much. No, that's not the way that happened." And when people say it long enough, they can rewrite the history of it. I've seen people say things for 10 years. They say it over and over again, even though it didn't happen that way. But after years, they wear everybody else down. It's like, "Well, you know, I really don't remember. Maybe they're right. Maybe it did happen that way." Who else would be so stubborn to say it for so long? Why do we do things like that? You know, in our faith and in our lives and everything we do, literally, we are what we choose. And we're also, in our choices, we become those who we're with. If we're with thieves, we're going to be thieves. If we're with liars, and those are our friends, well, we're going to be liars. If we're with revisionists and self-centered people, guess we'll be the same. These lepers were rejects in society. They had physical condition. Not only was a deterrent to their hanging out with anybody, even the passage begins and says, as they stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, they wouldn't even come near. Because it was not allowed. And it was not in their best interest. Leprosy was something that was clearly visible. And so it wasn't just that you were sick and that you might be contagious and spread this disease, because it was contagious. But that you were cursed by God to even have such a thing. Society looked at you that way, and they looked at themselves that way. Now, meanwhile, their view of their faith was that they were the chosen people. So if God rejects you and God curses you, you are no longer chosen. You're chosen for something bad. So you just kept your distance. I know over the years when I've seen people with handicaps, small, large, you know, various degree, I usually see two kinds of behaviors that go with it. One is that they compensate by being very good and very kind to others. But the other compensation is the opposite. Sometimes they get very aggressive, very hard. They'll rewrite things, saying, "I don't have a problem. And don't even mention those things around me. They get very aggressive. This is a copy of how we are in life. But we also copy the people that we're near. If our parents are a certain way, we're a certain way. If our friends are a certain way, we're a certain way. And we learn these behaviors, and we choose them, just like we choose our friends. I will tell you this, when I was young, I started very young on the wrong path. I grew up in a family that was pretty hard, and I took on that nature. And not really caring, I made choices that were not going to lead to a good path. And I'm talking young now, early teens. As I went down that path in those early teens, I decided that I didn't want to be a bad person. I don't know how I made that decision. It really wasn't from faith at that time. Because in those days, I didn't believe in God at all. Teenager, young teenager, didn't believe in God, didn't behave right. Somehow, I made the choice to change. And the first thing I did was I got all new friends. That's one of the hardest things I ever did as a kid. Discarded my old friends and got all new ones. Because all the friends I was hanging out with, including the ones at church, I was getting into the most trouble with. So I picked all new friends. And by doing so, picked a whole new life and a whole new set of behaviors for myself. And this is why I'm kind of supportive when parents, you know, sometimes they get on their kids and say, "You need new friends." And sometimes the kids will come, "Father, talk to my parents. They're being too oppressive. I won't say anything." Because I know exactly what the parents are trying to do. You can't make that choice for somebody else, whether you're a parent or not. You can try to force it, but it won't work. People make their own choices. Whatever you choose, that is what you become. And whoever you choose as your friends, that's what you become. Do you understand now why fellowship is so important in the Christian life? Why we have coffee and refreshments and say, hang out with each other. And sometimes people will tell me, "Well, you know, the church can be pretty bad behavior, and you know, in the church sometimes. People can be really a lot of trouble." And I just smile through that. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. As if it's not like that at your job, or at your school, or out in the world, where people are literally killing each other. So it's harsh in church. We expect the church to be the environment of heaven. That's ridiculous. Are we in heaven? We try as much as possible to replicate heaven. But we're taking only a step toward that. And Christ, by His grace, comes halfway to us as well. And I do think behavior in church is better than it is in the world, but it's not perfect. So people who make the excuse and say, "Boy, people are ill-behaved in church." What a way to quit. What a way to say, "No, I'm not going to do this." What you're really doing is picking the wrong place, the wrong behaviors, and the wrong friends. As much as possible, when you see Christians misbehave, the truth is we all do. And sometimes we have to tell each other. In the world, if you tell someone, it could cost you a lot. Your job could cost your life if you tell the wrong person the wrong thing. In the church, you'll get your feelings hurt. That's about as bad as it gets. It is important in all the choices that we make. I wonder in the case of these lepers, if because they're so rejected, maybe that's why they never said thank you. They probably never looked at each other, hardly ever talked to each other, and most of society looked down their noses at them, and that's kind of what they became too. Although it's kind of illuminating that the one person that did say thank you was not of the chosen race. It was a Samaritan, it says. Maybe that was just even in the humility of being a leper. There was still an arrogance. Maybe they said, I'm going to discard all that history because now I'm clean. I'm going to pretend it never happened. I'm not going to say thank you. Even I'm not even going to pay attention to it. Again, revisionist history. All of a sudden, they can go back to their families and their friends and live normal lives. And we don't know how well that went. Probably didn't go well because all those years of being a reject probably changed them. And the people they hung out with and the behaviors they picked up, part of what they became. Leprosy is not a choice. But this is why it's also important to be in church. And not just in terms of fellowship. But the truth is, we put ourselves in front of the Lord. And we say, you're our Father. Not the world. And certainly not the devil. You are our Father. And that is our choice. And I don't always know your ways. And I often fall short. And maybe I'm one of the people who, when I come to church, sometimes I misbehave. And I look down at people and do things that don't make people happy. But I'm still going to put myself in front of the Lord and put myself in the family of Christ and do the best I can. I'm going to pick new friends. I'm going to pick a new family. And maybe by doing so, I'll pick a new life and slowly become different. This is exactly how the church works. God gave us free will. We have enough free will to reject God. There is a power in choice. You define who you are. You define what you do. You define and choose every single thing you say. And the people around you will choose how they hear it. And sometimes you have to alter it so they hear what they need to hear and not what you think you need to say. It is very important, every single choice we make. And this is why in the church we reflect in our lives. We go to church regularly. We put ourselves in the body of Christ. We put ourselves before the Lord. And we say, as much as I can, with every breath, with every decision I make, I'm not going to be a fanatic. I don't have to be a fundamentalist. I don't have to be loudmouthed about it. I just have to make the right choices. And to do that, I need to be in the right places and with the right people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.